This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
Illinois says they have.
All right, not on purpose, but I did not pull up the College of Aces text line in the first hour, so my apologies. I'm just reading through some of these right now. Kevin from Tolono said, bring on Mike Leach or Dino Babers. Dino is not doing well. That Syracuse team.
Yeah.
But
they've taken a dip.
They have, but so much. Ken said Friday night reminiscent of the 09 season opener versus Missouri and St. Louis. You're exactly right. I was there. And he said, so much hype, we laid an egg. There's a lot of, that's, you're dead on right there, Kevin, or Ken. So, all right, it's The Drive with Sam Piper. I'm Lante, he's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise joining us this hour as well. We have sound from the Illini game. Derek.
Well, from today.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. The sound is from today, but regarding the Friday night Illini game. Before we get there, you wanted to touch on the quarterback of this team, Brandon Peters. I told Jay and you, I'm like, he was not good. He was not good at all. He was making some bad throws. The offense in general just looked slow. Really, really slow. He was, and look, I get it that Imator Bebe is really good. And if you have him, I'd rather him target him more than not target him. But when you're throwing it to him every play and you're forgetting that Danny Navarro is out there who was open on a couple of those plays, or, you know, Casey Washington or some of these other guys, or Brian Hightower had a nice catch in that game. It's just like you can't just consistently go to Imator Bebe, especially when there's two guys around him.
Yeah, exactly that. When you say two guys around him, I want him to take advantage of every one-on-one matchup against Bebe that you can, but I said it all offseason, need to see him take the next step. And I feel like he got a little bit too much, or maybe even a lot of bit too much credit for last year. Where, don't get me wrong, that Michigan State game, the comeback, he played really, really, really well.
Yeah.
And he's a lot better than what you had in previous years, which, to be honest, especially for a Power 5 program, says very, very little.
That's a good point.
When you go back to the Chase Crouch, Jeff George Jr., even A.J. Bush as a passer,
yep,
that's a really, really low bar.
Yep.
So his consistency, he's had accuracy issues. In terms of making pretty manageable throws, he can throw the ball deep. And look, his plays with his legs, you mentioned in the first hour, what did Illinois run for other than Brandon Peters? Peters had 75 yards on the ground. Illinois total, let's see, 18 other carries for 60 yards.
Wow.
That's nothing, but
not going to do it.
It's not good enough. It concerns me. I think that for Illinois, again, and I don't think anyone's sitting here and be like, I think this team could have the type of year that we thought, you know, in the offseason.
No one's
sitting here saying that.
Kudos to you.
But I said it going into the game against Wisconsin. I think the same is going to apply for Purdue, for Minnesota, for on down the line. Especially with a defense that's pretty faulty, he's going to have to play a lot better just to win 3-4 games.
Yeah, that's well said. I agree. And I, you know, you see glimpses of it, but I don't know. You know, I think back, like, there's been some really good quarterbacks at Illinois. You know, I mean, Juice, I know, Kurt Kittner, Tony Eason. You know, you go back through the days where you had a lot of good quarterbacks here, and I just want that back. I want that back. And it's been how long since you could say that you have a top of the Big Ten kind of quarterback?
It's been a while. I mean,
even top half. I'm
Juice's
not sure.
That, sophomore year? Because I don't think you could say that at the end of Juice's.
No, that's true. Yeah, it'd be Juice, what, in 2000? What would that be, 5?
Yeah.
So now we are 15 years later.
Westlund had one good year in there.
Yeah.
One, like, really good
year.
Steelhouse had it.
That's true. Oh, Nate. Yeah, Nate would be the guy.
He was pretty good.
Nate would be the guy. That would be the guy.
Just very concerned about that position. And I think Isaiah is a big part of that. I understand. I said during the break to you guys, technically this year doesn't count, so he still has four more years. And it's a guy that when his athletic traits, from what we've seen on a highlight tape in high school or whatever, what you hear about in practice, I know we haven't got a chance to really see it in a game. Even on read options, it seems like he was, against Wisconsin, a little too tentative, was like, okay, just take the ball, running back.
Oh,
I'm not even going to read the end.
No.
And try to make a play. And you're in that speed option on third and short. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole mess. But he can't throw.
Here's what, in a game, I remember making this statement. In a game like that, when you're getting pretty much demolished, and you know you're not coming back in that second half, why not throw Isaiah in and throw? Have him throw the football. Instead of just cementing the fact to every other defensive coordinator in the Big Ten that when Isaiah Williams comes in, guess what? He's not going to throw the football. Now, if you're not having him throw the football because he can't, then that's a whole nother problem, and that's a bigger issue than we want to know at this point. But why not come in and say, all right, Isaiah, get in there and throw the ball, so that at least Purdue coming up this week. Now, I mean, how are you really fooling the next team by bringing in Isaiah? I mean, they're going to be sitting there going, okay, there's going to be one of four things he's going to do here. Not one of them is a pass. So I don't know.
It's just when you look into the future. And again, there's so much now in front of your face from this game Friday, or just what this team's going to be here in the coming weeks, that we don't have to go too far down the road. But it's part of where this program is at.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, you're not losing Brandon Peters to the NFL this offseason.
If he wants to come back,
he's going to be back.
Yep.
Otherwise, you have Isaiah Williams, you have Matt Robinson, who from what I've seen, I don't think he can be your guy on a team that's going to compete in the Big Ten.
Nope.
And you're hoping that Deuce Spann progresses, because right now where Isaiah was, just based on the hype, and I get it, he's a local kid, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Big get with a lot of spectacular offers.
No doubt.
Thought I'd see more.
Yeah. No, you should see more. You should see by this year a guy that is challenging Brandon Peters to start. And I don't
think Brandon's going
to
play like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't think there's any doubt that Brandon Peters is hands down the best quarterback on this team. And again, I don't know that that's saying much. Now, you're right. We can go into week two against Purdue. We can come back here next Monday, and at least that horrendous taste in your mouth is gone. Maybe you beat Purdue next week. And certainly you're going to start feeling a little bit better. But like you said, and you said it perfect, if you're an Illini fan out there, after watching that on Friday night, and you still think this team can accomplish what you thought, good for you. And I mean that, good for you. Because I watched a team that I thought could run the football and didn't, against, I don't think, Wisconsin's front. Maybe it is. Again, like I told Jay, I wish the season was over and I could look back and Wisconsin's the third best team in the country, and then at least I would sit here today going, well, look, that Wisconsin team was a heck of a lot better than I thought. But your secondary was not even close to most of the passes. I mean, their quarterback, who's a redshirt freshman, missed on one pass the entire day. And a lot of those, I think I could have made.
He threw, with 10 passes against Kent State and Central Michigan, threw more incompletions against those two than he did against Illinois.
Ugh. Coming off the bowl game last year, when that quarterback was, and you know, I remember during that game, because I'll never forget, Jeremy Warner and I got in a little bit of a Twitter battle, and I'm like, this quarterback's having the game of his life. Yeah. And Jeremy was like, wow, but he's making throws that he should make. And I didn't want to hear that at the time. And we laughed about it later. And then you look at Graham Mertz, who made some nice throws and is a good quarterback. But maybe there's a reason why this is happening.
Exactly.
This is happening. So, all right, Lovie Smith, Rod Smith, Brandon Peters. Who do you want to hear from first? I kind of want to hear from Rod Smith.
Okay.
Your offense, his offense, did not score a touchdown. And this is with a veteran offensive line, a veteran quarterback, a veteran wide receiver. Here's Rod.
I don't know if we ever go into a game and say, you know, this guy's got to have this many targets, this guy's got to have this many targets. You know what I mean? a lot of times the matchup with the defense can depend on where the ball goes. Obviously, I think there is an amount of touches that Bebe's got to touch it because, you know, he's been proven and we know what he can do. So there's times I think there's a confidence level between Brandon and Josh. Particularly in man coverage, that ball probably tends to go over there a little bit. And I don't blame him. I probably would too, as long as the matchup is conducive. So, do you want to get it spread around? Absolutely you do. I mean, you want to try to be as fluid with that in terms of who's touching the ball, whatnot. But I'm not going to sit here and try to micromanage every touch, every target. We don't do that. We basically read coverage. Every available receiver who's out there, tight end, running back, wide receiver, no matter who it is always a target. It all depends on how the defense plays as far as where that quarterback is progressions tend to lead. So we don't just straight this a progression 1, 2, 3, 4 right here from right to left every time. A lot of times coverage dictates a lot of that type of stuff and where the quarterback works. Obviously, there's some decisions we'd like to have back. I don't think we played – it's obvious. We didn't play as good as a whole. None of us coached well enough. We didn't play well enough. It's disappointing how we lost our fundamentals that we've been really working on. So that's stuff that as a coaching staff, myself, we got to get corrected. But the way Wisconsin decided to play us was a lot of man coverage, a lot of cover one. There's matchups, there's situations you try to get into, and I think that's what Brandon saw, and that's what he's been taught. If you like your matchup, you take it. If otherwise, we're looking for man friendly routes in the concepts. So we ran a couple of rub routes, we kind of a couple of things like that. Mike Epstein up the rail on a mesh concept one time on third down. There's different scenarios there, but there was a lot of throws, Robert, that one we need to make better. As far as throw better, and there's also times we got to catch the football too. There's a lot of drops or some drops that were crucial. One on third down, there's a couple of them that the wideout's open, and we got to deliver the football to them. So there's room to go around for work for everybody.
That is Rod Smith, and we just Mike as that clip is playing, Mike on the College of Aces text line said, "Where were the tight ends?" Certainly, you didn't see a lot out of that. I know the Luke Ford stuff. I kept wondering when I was watching Luke's dad, Tim, tweeting out. I thought, is he going to wake up tomorrow and regret these tweets? But, I'm sure maybe a little bit. But still, I mean, we've been wanting. It's like, hey, Derek, I bought you a new car. You can't drive it for 2 years. But on a certain Friday night, I'm going to let you take it out. Excuse me. And then you, man, I'm choking on a banana. And then you go in the country and just drive 20 miles an hour. I'd be like, well, I'm glad you're safe. I mean, why were we not seeing more of that?
But you dictated. The car was programmed to where I got to drive to the stoplight, and then it was done. Right. Like, I was like, okay, that's enough for a week. I mean, maybe it's not in physical condition. Like, it hasn't been driven.
No.
Tell me that guy isn't in shape. Tell me that you haven't had time to figure out how to use him. Tell me that he's not talented. It's like they looked at the waiver and saw in the fine print, was like, oh, you can only use him for 25% of the snaps, then 50, then 100 for the rest of the year.
It doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't. I thought Jeremy made a good point in some of his pieces here in the last couple of days. It's not what the coaches sold to the fan base, to the media going into this season. They talked about the weapons and how they could use them. They talked about that tight end room. How great it was, how talented. I know that it came out today that Daniel Matuidi was banged up, and that's why he didn't end up getting in that game. But how do you not have two tight end formations?
Yep.
How do you not have Luke Ford split out in the slot? How do you just a tight end screen or whatever it may be, get the ball into your playmaker's hands and be multiple, and that it's not, okay, we're going to run the ball, Peters is going to scoot away, or we're just going to throw it to Bebe.
Yep, right. That's exactly right. And I kept saying the whole night, where is a tight end screen to look for? If he is this crazy athletic, and I think he is, then why are you not trying to get him even a quick little 2-yard pass behind the line of scrimmage like Wisconsin was doing all of the first half for very positive results? Why can't you do that? I don't know. Lovie Smith his opening statement today.
Disappointing game. You assume you're in a different place going into the season than we assumed. We were in a different place going into the season, and how the game turned out. Thought we were more prepared to play a better football game than we did. Not much, of course. I know I'm kind of, you know, talking about some of the obvious things that happened. Offensively, it's pretty simple. You know, when you don't score any points offensively and you give up 45 points defensively, no matter how it happens, not a good day at the office. But for us, it's what counts is one game. And, normally you get to the first game and you truly see where you are. And as I say, we're not as far along as I hope we would be, but we still have time to get there. When you have an effort like that, you can't wait to play as soon as possible. So we watched the video with our team, and now it's moving on to Purdue.
That is next. That will be next week, Purdue at Memorial Stadium against the Fighting Illini. Of course, Purdue, I guess you would call it an upset over Iowa 24-20, doing it without their head coach on the sidelines and without Rondale Moore in the game. And like Jay Layman said, really with a kind of a weird quarterback thing going on that they're not quite sure who should be the starter. Well, they went out and beat Iowa 24-20. Is this the same kind of Iowa team that we've seen the last 10 years? I don't think so. But
I don't think so either.
That's still a program that knows how to win. And Purdue figured out a way to beat them.
See, that sounds a little familiar, where it's maybe this isn't the typical Iowa team that does get the nod, the benefit of the doubt. We're like, that's a really good program. They know how to win.
Yep.
Their quarterback's not there. They've lost some pieces. Maybe they're beatable.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue went out and did it.
They did.
Illinois got hammered.
Yep. That's exactly right. Not even in the game. And I know the Epstein fumble was not a good thing early on. Right off the bat, you're playing, you're behind the eight ball, as they like to say. But you have to be able to face that kind of adversity and move on from it. Today, Lovie Smith on some disconnect, some disappointment of his team.
Well, you know, first going to look at how we ran the football. I mean, we talk about taking ball away on defensive side. Can't turn the ball over. That put us in a hole right away, but not being able to consistently run the football put you in a hole a little bit too. But if a team is stopping the run, I mean, we have an excellent passer in Brandon, and we have to be able to get the ball to our receivers. I mean, our receivers weren't a factor. Our tight end really weren't a factor. It's just, what concerns me is just our overall play on the defensive side, similar to what I'm talking about on the defensive side of the same concerns I have on the offensive side. We busted coverages. We didn't get enough pressure. Thought we played the run fairly well. The run wasn't as much of a factor. Normally you go into a game, some of the things you really are concerned about everything, but it's be more tackling, since there's not a whole lot of live tackling. But the mental part of it, I just thought we would be further along. And when you have guys catching touchdown passes and uncontested, that's not a good start. When you turn the football over early on the road, it's not a good start. So it was more things like that.
Yeah.
At least he said it.
He did.
As far as a mentality. Now, it falls back on him.
A lot of it does. You're the CEO of this program.
A veteran team that did some things last year. You said it was your best team. And how are they not prepared?
Mm-hmm.
How do they look like that? It looked like, let's be honest, the worst coached football team in the Big Ten West, maybe in the Big Ten.
Derek, I cannot agree with you more. Is that the right grammar? I said this that night driving home. I thought to myself, did Paul Christ just completely, not just kind of outcoached, like literally embarrassed Lovie Smith in Illinois? Or was it just that Wisconsin's that much better? Or is it that Illinois just kind of had one of those games? I don't know, but
I don't know what Wisconsin did to get that much better from last year.
Exactly. That's exactly right. All right, Lovie Smith did say today that there were positives on Friday night. Derek,
you'll
it says
have to
right
educate
here.
Us. Now, I could point to a player or two, let's be honest, on defense. They did some good things, but for it to be a minute and 18 seconds is maybe a little lengthy.
It's just more fun.
I'm interested to hear what
it's more
what
fun
it was.
For me to tease it because you and I haven't heard it, and maybe our listeners haven't heard it, but Lovie Smith did say today, and there's a minute 18 seconds of it, that there were positives from that game. Okay. I cannot wait to hear this along with everyone else when we return. It is The Drive.
You're moving to Texas. You've arrived, but your belongings have been missing for 3 weeks. Where is the moving company?
Moving doesn't have to be a horror movie. Book your move with a local move specialist at Two Men in a Truck. You will know exactly where your items are. Two Men in a Truck can perform expedited moves. They don't have long lead times, and they don't put other folks' furniture on the truck with yours.
Ew.
Move your belongings safely. Visit twomenchampagne.com.
At Matex Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, we salute our local veterans. This fall, we are inviting you to feel the difference and make a difference. Now through Veterans Day, November 11th, you can take a $25 discount on your service costs or forego the discount, and Matex will use your $25 to cover your furnace repairs for local veterans in need. Know a veteran in need of assistance? Nominate them for a new furnace by visiting matexservice.com/veterans. Call, text, or schedule online today. Matex. Feel the difference.
I'm Flora Adams-Williams, Physician Assistant at OSF Healthcare. It's that time of year when we need to get our flu vaccines. Every flu season is different, and influenza infection can affect people differently. An annual seasonal flu vaccine is the best way to help protect against influenza. Some easy steps to protect yourself from getting the flu or COVID-19, as simple as social distancing, wearing your mask, covering your cough, washing your hands with soap and water, or using hand sanitizer. Flu vaccine prevents tens of thousands of hospitalizations each year. For example, during the year 2018 and 2019 flu season, the vaccination prevented an estimated 58,000 flu-related hospitalizations. The CDC recommends a vaccine for everyone 6 months and older. Flu shots are available at OSF Medical Group Primary Care Offices and OSF Ergo locations. For more details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
AG Farm Management specializes in high-quality, high-touch, and high-tech farm management. Jim Goss knows that every farm has the potential to be better than it was when he started managing it. So while you can't always trust Mother Nature, you can always trust AG Farm Management to have your best interests at heart. Whether you want to buy, sell, or need comprehensive farm management, Jim Goss is the one to call. 367-2121. Make your farm the best it can be. 367-2121.
As you drive to your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
I'm Mark Sheldon, your County Recorder of Deeds. For 14 years, I also served as your county clerk. At that time, I never supported the merger of the recorder and the clerk. Why was that? Very simply, I actually talked to the experts in this area, such as bankers, title companies, and attorneys. They record $1 billion in property transactions each year, and most don't support a merger. My opponent claims that Cook County, quote, seems to be doing fine. Cook County has a 6 to 8 week delay in recording right now. In Champaign County, you can walk in the office and immediately get a document filed. 2 years ago, county Democrats told voters it didn't matter who the treasurer was. In 2 years, we've seen taxpayers get double billed and homeowners have their refinancing delayed. I want to make the recorder appointed rather than an elected politician so we can ensure professional administration in the future.
Paid for by Citizens for Mark Sheldon.
95 ESPN Radio, 93.5 Lance, Derek Piper. We're hearing Lovie Smith audio, also Rod Smith, and we've got some things from Brandon Peters. They all met today with the media, and one of the things we teased going into the break, Derek, was that Lovie saw some positives from Friday night. And I'm like you, and I'm being a little facetious, obviously. There were a couple of guys that played pretty good and played better than expected, like a Tyreek Barnes, who came in and really, I mean, he took advantage of his time.
Yeah, he forced the fumble. He picked up his own forced fumble and ran it back for a touchdown. He did provide a spark defensively, fly around in the run game, which was good to see. Roderick Perry, we talked about him being someone that was a top, like, NFL prospect as far as defensive tackles in the Big Ten. He looked the part.
Yep. I thought the defensive line.
Even Keith Randolph.
Yes.
Said, hey, that looks like a Big Ten
defensive
end.
Totally agree. The defensive line impressed me. I mean, I can remember years, that not long ago, when, what was it, seven Big Ten teams ran for over 200 yards, or had a player, I'm sorry, rush for over 200 yards, right, against Illinois. Am I saying that right? Doesn't matter. That doesn't seem right. But so I was impressed with the defensive line in this game, and against a Wisconsin team that if you do that against Wisconsin, then I feel like, let's say against Purdue, now, like you said, they're going to want to pass the ball. But I feel like at least this defensive line is going to give you the chance, because a team's not going to come in and run all over you. And I didn't know that going into the first game.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously helps. I think that you do have to mention, when you're going to talk D-line, they were good in the run game. They didn't get in the backfield and mess with Mertz at all. He was comfortable from the very, very start. And we're going to play at Purdue. You're going to play at Minnesota. You're either going to have to get more creative, which is hard when teams spread it out on you with blitzes and stuff like that, or you're going to have to win one-on-one matchups and get back there in the passing game. But, yeah, I'm interested to hear what Lovie has to say. A minute and 18 seconds. I don't know how many seconds, over under three, allocated to the offense. I don't think it's probably under that.
Lovie, the floor is yours.
Play like that, it's just all negative, negative, negative. But Tariq Barnes was a positive. He graded out well. You know, Jake Hansen is going to be out there the majority of the time when he's healthy, but to step in like he did was pretty impressive. He fits the profile on what we want to play with linebacker-wise. He's extremely bright and smart. He can run. You know, he's under 11 flat, 100 meters guy, got good size. But he needed to play, though, and play well in a game situation. He did that. Everybody kind of, you know, you saw the touchdown that he got, and really is a part of knocking the ball away, picking it up, and scoring. That's a pretty special play, but he had others. He had a big sack, and then a couple of good tackles. So when you get your opportunity, you need to show people that, you know, that, hey, I can help this team win, and he did that. In order to get – when we get Jake back, of course, that would allow when you lose a player like Jake, too, you know, that Tariq was a – core special teams players, so you lose one guy with that also. So hopefully this can kind of get us back and get everybody in their rightful position a little bit too. But if we have to play Tariq Barnes again, feel real good about it. Maybe even this week.
Okay.
So the positives are one player played well.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting about getting players in the right positions, it's kind of ironic. Another one of those things will make Illini fans shake their head, roll their eyes. The guy who played the best, the guy who eats up an entire 1 minute and 18 clip, wasn't even supposed to play regular snaps on your defense unless Jake Hansen goes out. So to Lovie's point of getting guys back in their positions, is Tariq Barnes playing middle and Jake Hansen back to outside? Is that something that you have to do?
That's a great point. That is a wonderful point, Derek. Literally, I'm speechless with what you just said. It's true. I mean, unless the linebackers are so good and deep, and they may be, the problem is I'm getting playmakers out on the field. I'm figuring out a way. If you have to play four linebackers, I'm playing four linebackers. I mean, that's basically what Wisconsin does.
I'm just saying, if you're the one guy, the one positive from
and you may not
day,
even play next week.
You've gotta be out there.
Not only like you said, were you expecting anything from him? But he may not even play.
Right, exactly.
I mean, the end of the soundbite, Lovie said, maybe even this week. Well, he was your best player.
I'd be curious to see what Jake Hansen's status is coming
I agree, and I hope that, boy, that was scary.
That has to be a concussion, I would imagine.
Scary to watch for Jake. And let's don't there. Listen, there were a couple things that early fumble by Epstein certainly put a lot of momentum for Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that. The Jake Hansen injury, that is damaging to that defense because he is the heart and soul of that defense. So there were a couple of things that, I mean, I'll give you with regards to that. But here's the problem. 5 years in with an experienced team, it's called adversity, and you have to learn to deal with that. And a good team would deal with it. A good team would deal with an Epstein fumble and Wisconsin being handed a touchdown early. That wasn't necessarily the defense's fault. I mean, Wisconsin took over essentially in their own red zone. And then you have to have guys be able to step in when someone goes down, and Illinois did.
You did.
With Tyreek Barnes, but you still gave up 45 points to end that game. I guess there was a funny exchange. I want Trevor to explain this to me. There was a funny exchange in the postgame, right, about Brandon Peters' question. Is that right?
Well, it wasn't the postgame. It was today's Zoom.
Oh, it was today.
Somebody asked him if Brandon Peters was still going to be the quarterback. And, you know, Lovey, I mean, he doesn't show it outwardly usually when he's upset, but he does sort of get
snarky.
Even more snarky and defensive when he's kind of on his toes. And you could just tell that after a loss like that with a question like that, he was kind of on his toes.
He wasn't ready for that kind of a question today. Here it is.
I feel like I'm going to get the Brandon is our quarterback answer, so I apologize, Lovey, but are you satisfied?
Before you say it, I can stop you. Brandon is our quarterback answer. So since you say you know that, I mean, yes, Brandon is our quarterback.
Are you satisfied with how the rotation?
Let me just finish him. Jake Hansen is our linebacker. And all of the other guys, we're not making any major changes based on one game where we all didn't perform the way we will, starting with the head football coach. Now your question was what again, man?
Okay. Is Lovey Smith still the coach next week? That's not fair, Lon. All right, Rod Smith. More from Rod Smith. You know, the offense scored 0 points in the game. I don't think we have to mention that again, but they scored 0 points.
Zero red zone trips. Didn't get inside the 20 the entire game.
Rod talked about your offensive coordinator, the mistakes.
The mistakes we made were what, you know, you'd expect from our first group, a younger group going through. So, that's the disappointing part. We got to get it corrected. Obviously, that's what we're going to work on this week. And I can't answer that. I don't know if it was the adrenaline, the first game. I can't tell you. I just know it's unacceptable. We can't have it. And you know, and I got to do a better job coaching to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's, you know, that goes on me. We got to get it done. And as a staff, you know, you got to big time. There's no other options. There's no bye weeks. There's no, you know, get out of jail freeze. I mean, it is what it is. It's a grind. It's a 9-week jump. And, you know, you go back to work and you work on immediately. And you start correcting things that, guys, there's things that need to be corrected that we have did well in practice. That we have did well even last year in a game. And why those showed up on Friday, it's just hard to explain. But I just know this. We know what they are. We know what the problems were. It's our job now to go back and try to get them fixed and get them corrected and get our guys playing like they're capable of.
Rod Smith. All right, Brandon Peters, the quarterback. He did not have a great game, obviously. He was looking, or appeared to me, a little annoyed that Isaiah Williams was able to get more playing time, essentially, than what Brandon thought going in. And I basically just said, you know, that really wasn't the game plan. The game plan was for Isaiah to come in maybe 3 or 4 times. And then he brought up the, I mean, there's little things you look right through. Like, you can sit here and say whatever you want about what Brandon Peters was talking about after that game, but essentially he was not happy that Isaiah Williams got in more time than he should have, according to Brandon. And his displeasure, and I don't blame him maybe, of coming in on a 4th and 2 after Isaiah ran 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down. Now, that's not an easy place to come in. But guess what? The pass, Bebe was there. And you threw it at his ankle. So I think that was the play. Is that right?
No, you're right.
Yeah, that was the play.
You're not asking him to throw a 30-yard corner to the back pylon on a rope. You're asking him to throw a slant on 4th and 2.
Yeah. So, and, you know, maybe look at it the other way in the sense that the coaching staff has the trust in you to be able to come in on a 4th and 2 and get that done. But certainly not the best performance for sure from Brandon Peters.
You know, I think you got to give credit to Wisconsin. They threw some things at us that, you know, we might not have been expecting. You know, they played a lot of man, and, you know, when you play man, you got to win on the outsides. You know, the receiver's got to go win one-on-one balls. And, you know, we didn't really give ourselves the opportunity in situations to do that, not being able to move the chains. And when we did take those opportunities, you know, we didn't capitalize on them. You know, I thought Wisconsin had a great game plan on defense going in to stop the run, and that's what they did. So, you know, when that happens in the future, we just got to be able to adjust better on the fly.
But I hope it would be nice to come out against Purdue and get a victory. And I know, again, like I said,
should be doable.
It's doable, right? You hope it's doable. We're going to take a break. I have one thing to get off my chest, though, with Lindy. I love you, buddy. But Lindy said it's Wisconsin, not Maryland. Relax. Lindy, is that where we should be? Is that honestly where we should be as a fan base? Should I be that way going into this season where there is, you had as much experience back as Wisconsin. You beat that team last year, whether fluky or not, you beat that team last year. And they were starting a redshirt freshman quarterback that had thrown 10 passes in his college career and not won against a Big Ten school. And you are defeated 45-7, and your offense doesn't score. So, now, Lindy, again, I love you. You know that. But is that where I'm supposed to be now? Am I supposed to take that game Friday and just say, well, I mean, you know, just one game. Just Wisconsin. We got 7, there's 8 more. No, I'm not. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to apologize for not only having passion, but forget passion. I'm not going to apologize for not being absolutely ticked off that Illinois came out and looked like crap Friday night. And an experienced team looked like crap. And it was embarrassing. And I wake up Saturday morning and I'm listening to McGee and Marty Smith in the morning, and they take a SportsCenter break, which you never would hear Illinois' name. Well, last night in college football, Wisconsin rolled Illinois 45-7. I'm just like, yuck! Like, that's on that. That's some dude in Idaho just heard that. Some guy in California heard it. Some person in Michigan just heard that. And it's stinking embarrassing. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here and understand that that's okay. Well, one game. You got crushed 45-7 to Wisconsin, who was starting a redshirt freshman, who had just as much, or you had just as much experience as they did going into that game, coming back from last year, and you beat them last year, and you were crushed. I am not looking for any kind of little, that's great. This did well. No, nothing. When you get beat 45-7, nothing went well.
Time to have expectations. And we talked about it on Friday, whether you're teetering that line when you're looking at the point spread and you're like, but it's Illinois.
Yep.
You know, there's something in the back. It's Wisconsin. Okay, maybe they know something. But no, it's like we have expectations this year.
Yep.
We heard Lovie said himself that this is my best team.
Yep.
Lovie has one of the top 15 salaries in college football. He has one of the best facilities where they had an offensive lineman as a transfer from Bama. So it's better. The facilities are better than Bama.
Wow.
You have a whole bunch of time to prepare, a bunch of continuity, a bunch of reasons Wisconsin's not supposed to be as good. You didn't just lose. You got embarrassed and you looked flat out incompetent.
Yeah. It makes me think that if you reversed roles with Indiana and what they just did against, who'd they beat?
Penn State, number 8.
So Indiana went into that game against Penn State essentially feeling the same way Illinois should have been feeling going into Wisconsin. In other words, we have a shot to win. and we have a shot to be competitive in this game. And you know what they did? They won. They won the game. And Tom Allen won seven games last year. They've already upset Penn State this year. That is a program that should be and is essentially comparable to Illinois. And they stood toe-to-toe with Penn State and beat them. You stood toe-to-toe with Wisconsin and got beat 45-7. So I guess don't come at me with, it'll be all right. You're way overreacting, Lon. I don't think so. And I do love you, Lindy. We will have a beer in the future. That's a promise. And that's not just at Lindy. I was getting texts and other responses on Twitter about that. You're way overreacting to game one. Okay. Well, then I'm overreacting. But I don't know that I am. Bears are good. And they play tonight, Monday Night Football. Tonight.
And your Cardinals won a huge game last night.
And there's a World Series still going on, by the way. We'll touch on all that when we return. It's The Drive.
Long's Garage is the longest-running auto repair shop in Champaign-Urbana, and for good reason. Whether you're looking for new tires from any major brand or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, come to Long's Garage for honest service from ASC-certified technicians. They can help you with tire balancing, tire inspection, tire mounting, tire rotation, and so much more. All your tire needs will be fulfilled by the technicians at Long's, which is a Napa Auto Care facility, meaning you're in the best hands. Visit them today at 503 East Main Street in Urbana for tire service you can trust. 367-3942.
Game Day Spirits' huge fall sale is wrapping up, but there's still time for you to take advantage of some awesome deals on Illini gear. Over 100 styles have been marked down 40% off. Great brands such as Nike, Columbia, Champion, Tommy Bahama, and more all 40% off. You won't find these deals anywhere else. Get a head start on some holiday shopping this year by visiting GameDaySpirit.com and shopping their huge fall sale. Game Day Spirit, where Illini and shop.
The holidays are almost here. Need to make room in your home for your new holiday decor and gifts? Habitat for Humanity Restore is happy to take your gently used furniture, housewares, home decor, and appliances. You can drop your items off during business hours, Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., or have them picked up for free. Every item donated to the Restore will help Habitat for Humanity build homes, communities, and hope here in Champaign County. For more information about the Restore or to schedule a free donation pickup, visit cuhabitat.org.
As the weather gets colder, check out Urbana Park District's new health and fitness classes at the Phillips Recreation Center. Classes are for all ages and abilities, ranging from yoga to Zumba, aerobics, and more. All classes follow COVID-19 safety protocols. To register, see their program guide online at urbanaparks.org or call 217-367-1544. At Urbana Park District, you belong here. urbanaparks.org.
My name is Mark Flumacher and I am a Champaign County farmer. Champaign County has been my family's home for four generations. I farm to preserve and conserve the soil and water. I farm to be a worthy steward of this ground that I call home. I farm so that both my family and yours can enjoy the wonders that come from the changing of the seasons. Champaign County is home, and I farm so the next generations can also have the joy of calling Champaign County home. Champaign County Farmers Care, a message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign as the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo and the country store at Curtis Orchard featuring delicious apple cider, apple crisp donuts and pies, your favorite comfort foods made from scratch at the Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday 9 to 6 and on Sundays 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. At CurtisOrchard.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
I guess it's all about Eminem today. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lon Tay, Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is going to join us. Let's, though, quickly and unfortunately, I think the right word is quickly, Derek. Bryce Hopkins commits tonight. Not feeling it, are we?
Not feeling good, no.
Okay.
Expecting Kentucky.
Okay.
As of this morning, I was one of them. I was one of 12 crystal ball picks for Kentucky. He announces at 6:30. That's
Okay.
The expected destination.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. If for some reason an upset happens, that'd be a heck of a night. So we'll see. And I'm sure Derek Piper will be tweeting out about that, certainly, if we hear something different. So Bryce Hopkins tonight. All right, boys, Bears-Rams tonight, Monday Night Football. How you feeling?
Excited. A little, still a little scared to have too much expectations.
Fair.
And I just embracing the fact that we play an ugly brand of football, but that's who we are. We have a really good defense. I've been encouraged and thought we needed to elevate to the elite level of having elite defense in the NFL. I'm starting to see that. Khalil Mack, I know that he was questionable. I think he's going to play tonight. You got to, as Jay said last week, when we're talking about making Mertz uncomfortable, which Illinois didn't do, you got to heat him up.
Right.
You got to get in the backfield because Jared Goff does not play well when he's got a lot of action around him and he's worried about getting hit. So I expect an ugly game, low scoring. Nick Foles still in the offense, the play calling, the running game, it's still, ugh.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to be enough, but come on, let's just have some fun.
2 years ago, guys, your defense was the best in football. And then last year, I don't want to say it was the worst. Obviously, it wasn't. But last year, it kind of took a step back. Where is it this year? Is it back to being, like, better than you thought? Or is it about what you thought?
It's about to the point of what you would have hoped. I know that when you look at the pass defense, and I still think Jalen Johnson, there's been times where he's made some mistakes as a rookie. Kyle Fuller's been very good, and he wasn't good last year. That was a big difference. Eddie Jackson wasn't good last year. I think, as I say, Illinois, we talk so much about Illinois football, it's jammed in my mind. The Bears have only allowed, they allowed one touchdown reception to a wide receiver.
Is that it?
They've been pretty darn good in that category. Again, Khalil Mack took over that Bucs game, and that's a really darn good win, as you can see now with what the Bucs are doing. I think they're playing pretty well as a unit, and they need to.
Yeah, I agree. And Trevor, this is a nice test tonight against the Rams team that with Jared Goff, I mean, we've seen some explosiveness certainly out of Goff and a Rams team. And this is a Rams team that plays in a really good division, and you always wonder, okay, have we played enough? And I think Tampa's the team, right? To show me that yes, we are a good football team, and this isn't kind of fluky, but certainly tonight against the Rams is another chance to see that.
Khalil Mack is good to go as of 4 minutes ago. Tyler Higbee is officially inactive for the Rams. That's your injury report for the evening. The interesting thing, I'm curious about the Rams because I still feel like we know less about this team than people might think. They basically won against the NFC East and lost every other game they played.
The Bears, you're talking.
No,
you're talking about the Rams. Okay.
And look at the NFC East.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they played Dallas and won close. They played the Eagles and won big. What did we learn there? Nothing. They lost at Buffalo. Now, they lost by three, but they were once down 28 in that game.
Oh, that's right.
Then they beat the Giants close and beat the Washington football team fairly close and then lost to the Niners. So, I mean, I'm not saying the Rams are bad, and I don't think they are. But I am curious to see, I don't know if you want to call this the stiffest test they face, because Buffalo's pretty darn good, and they're better than the Bears.
Certainly.
But
well, maybe. I shouldn't have said certainly there.
Well.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe there's a debate to be had there.
I think there is a debate.
They didn't cover against the Jets this weekend.
Right.
By the way.
Yeah, but.
but I am curious.
Don't get on that.
I am curious to see this game tonight. I don't know. Look, the Bears are. After tonight, we'll be halfway through the season, and the Bears could be alone in first place in the NFC.
Crazy.
So I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. I don't think this game is going to have anything that's going to make me angry to the point, unless it's like a blown call or something, because the Rams are a decent team.
Yeah.
You're going out west. I don't think this is going to be a blowout on either side. I like Bears plus six if I'm forced to take something in that sense. And so I don't think I'm going to walk away from this game going, well, that was a 23-3 loss. That's an embarrassment. I think it'll be a close game, and
yeah,
kind of like last week, the Bears will have a shot to win it, and it depends if you get the key turnover or if you get the late touchdown or who steps up.
That's kind of what it is, Derek, is you know with your defense, you're always going to, for the most part, have a chance to win a game because they're going to keep you in it.
Oh, for sure, and that's why I think a lot of the pressure obviously falls back on Nick Foles, but even Matt Nagy to just do enough offensively to complement a really good defense and a winnable game. I know it's on the road, but Come on. If they can hold Jared Goff below 20 points, score enough to win the dang game.
Right. I agree. Totally agree. All right. Well, a lot of Illinois talk. Good stuff with Jay Lehman first hour. You certainly want to podcast that. Jay Lehman brought to you by Molitor Financial, Freedom Roofing, and Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We're going to do that every Monday during the college football season. Heard from Lovey and Rod and Brandon Peters. They all spoke today. Tomorrow, we'll do a lot more on the Bears. Are the Dodgers going to wrap it up?
I don't know.
I think we're going to see a game seven, yeah. Man. I hope we do. Now, is that tonight, though? That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Game six tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, yeah. So, but it's fun. It's a fun series so far. So, what else were you going to say? We didn't talk any NFL hardly, did we?
Yeah, we got a lot to catch up on. Dave Williams tomorrow. We're going to talk some Damonte Williams and Adam Miller workouts in Peoria. Talk some Peoria hoops.
I love it. Especially right now. Let's talk basketball. get this bad Not taste this out of my mouth.
That is a nice fallback, right?
It really is.
I mean, even last year you kind of thought, like, well, there's always basketball season. But this year it's like, hell yeah, we got basketball season.
We got basketball. All right, everybody have a great Monday. Thanks for joining us. As always, we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.